As you know, we used to have a wonderful, wonderful sound system. We used to. Hopefully this one works as well. We have always had our messages the last year or two online, and they're available. And hopefully we'll be able to get this one up there as well. We're going to look at Psalm 23, and if you want to look at what we're talking about, you'll find the reference there in your bulletin, if you wish to look at that, if you don't have a Bible with you. But if you do have a Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Yesterday at 6 in the morning, I got a rude awakening. Well, it wasn't that rude because my ringer was off in the phone in my bedroom. But I was almost dreaming. I could hear a phone ringing. So I picked the phone up to see, and sure enough, it was ringing. And there on the other end was our friend Al Bretnell, who never gets up on Saturday morning before at least 10:30. I never ever phone him at that time, but he phoned me yesterday at that time. And I woke up because he said, "I hate to wake you up this time in the morning, Bill, but," he says, "the church is on fire." I said, "What?" "Yeah, you heard me right." So within 5 minutes, I was over there, and the two of us began phoning other people and just letting people know what was happening. I think Howard was kind of half asleep, too. Howard is one of our elders, and at first he was thinking I was a nightmare on the other end of the phone. "What are you talking about?" Well, we got here, and sure enough, it was on fire and badly so. And as I began to prepare for the message for this Sunday, I was going to talk about Elisha, who we've been preaching about. And I thought, well, that would be a good sermon for today, but all my notes are gone. They were sitting on my desk. And on Friday night, I was so tired that I really had wished I could have studied that night, but I was just so tired. Now I wish I had gone to study that night. I sat at home with a friend of ours and having a game just to relax. And then got to bed in the morning and woke up to that phone call. Because if I'd been in the church that time of the night, that I might have been there till I might have smelled something. But that's the way things happen. But you know, my heart was turned to Psalm 23 because of several reasons. First of all, because of a memorial that we were doing. And secondly, because this is a good text of scripture for us today, I believe. Please notice this in this text. The Word of God says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The word "Lord" there in your Bible is in block letters. It's Hebrew, Yahweh. The I Am of the Old Testament. And that means He is eternally present. Well, I got a friend here. It's a wasp. "The Lord is my shepherd." The personal name of God, speaking of His presence eternally with us, all times and all places. That's a great comfort when we come to difficult situations. He is there all the time for His people, waiting, ready, wanting to help them. Notice also that this psalmist says, didn't just say the Lord is the shepherd, but he said the Lord is my shepherd. He speaks of a personal relationship with the living God. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? For us as creatures who really are nothing, I mean, we're specks on a planet. And when you consider the universe, we're smaller than specks. And yet, this person says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Do Do you belong to Him? That's a serious question we all need to answer. But notice what else it says. I shall not want. Now, when I was a kid, I remember reading that verse and says, I don't want Him? Well, that's not exactly what it meant. I came to understand as I got a little older, it meant that I will not have want. It doesn't say want in the sense that we use it often today. Kids, you know, they go in the candy store and they say, I want this. But the word want is in the sense that we use it in a more broad sense of lack. I will not lack those things I need. I'm reminded that several years ago, when our church building was built, there were no houses within three blocks of that building. And when we moved here in 2000, there was nothing down in this area. I remember one Sunday, this odd-looking couple came to church. And they said, we're thinking of building a house. He wanted to build out in the country on an acreage, and she wanted to be in the city. And so guess what? They compromised, and they bought a lot with a country view in a town. And you're sitting on their lot today. You know, when they bought that place, do you think that they knew that they'd be having a church service because the church building burnt down that they attended? But our sovereign God knew. And I think this is almost the most ideal spot we could be this morning. We're not going to be here in December. God provides for us in His way, in His time. And we absolutely believe that. The next verse, and of course this is called the Shepherd's Psalm because it pictures us as sheep. And the Bible says we're like sheep, we've gone astray. If you've ever been in a farm that has sheep, you know that most people that are on farms with sheep just have them as a nuisance. Now the odd person really cares about their sheep and they're real shepherds, but most people in this country, sheep are just kind of there to eat some of the grass they can't get rid of to the cows or some of the other things. But in this case, it says God treats us like sheep that He loves, like a tender shepherd, one that He wants to care for in every respect. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, a place for nourishment, a place where we can find what we need. Sheep need help. They need a shepherd. And so we need help. And we need a shepherd as well. He meets our needs. He meets our physical needs. He meets our emotional needs. He meets our spiritual needs. Now, we're not of those that go around saying, well, you know, when you become a believer in Jesus, everything will go well. You will never have a problem in life. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. The Bible's quite clear that sometimes when we become followers, that we may have an increase of problems. But we do have the assurance that when we're His children, that He is with us to care for us in those problems. And that's a precious thought. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, anybody that knows anything about sheep tell you that they don't like being by a roaring river. They want a nice, quiet pool to drink from. And that's the picture here of the Lord taking us to the places to meet our thirst and our need. He restores my soul. You know, in this country where this poem was written, it's a very dry country at times. Very hot country. And so because of that, they needed strength. They were tired. They were drained. They were hot. There's another psalm not too far away. Psalm 37 and verse 7. We read these words. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. There's more to that verse, but that's the part I wanted to look at. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. And He would call us to do that. And then it goes on in Psalm 23 to say, He leads me in the paths of righteousness. What direction does God want you to go? What direction does He want me to go? What are these righteous paths? We need to learn to love the things Jesus loved. You've seen that bracelet some people wear, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Well, what are they saying by that bracelet? They're saying, I want to love the things that Jesus loved. What did He love? Well, John 17:17, He said, Your word is true. He loved the Old Testament. That's what He had for God's word when He was here. And He said that if you look at the Old Testament, you will find Me in the pages of the Old Testament. He said that in John. Look at the Scriptures, for they testify of Me. Secondly, you know what else He loved to do? He loved to delight to do the will of God. That's a very interesting thing. If you go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, it's a quote from the book of Psalms again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of Me, to do Your will, O God. Now I want us to look at that quote because it says a little bit more in that quote in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8 is where the quote is from. Then said I, Behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of Me, I delight to do Your will, O my God, and Your law is within my heart. This is a quote that is a prophetic quote of Jesus Christ. He says, I delight to do Your will. It should be the delight of each of us to do the will of God. In fact, there's a verse that says, In 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, I am thankful in a certain sense that we've had the difficulties of the last day. Not thankful that we can't go there and sing and so on, but thankful because I know He's in control and He cares about us. And that He is there caring for our needs. And then it says, He does these things for His name's sake. You see, God desires that His name will be honored. And that is His desire in all things. Romans 8 tells us, we know that all things work together for good to them who love Christ. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Then we get to verse 4. Psalm 23, 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Death is an experience that people try to avoid. They try to put it off. But we know that everyone must die one day unless Jesus comes back first. But you know, it's kind of strange. We're weird creatures, aren't we? If you go and talk to insurance agents, life insurance agents, that is, they will often tell you most people don't want to talk to them about life insurance. And if you talk to people, lawyers and so on, that do wills, they'll say, well, 50% of Canadians don't have a will. Why is that? Because I think we avoid the topic of death sometimes. The psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. The shepherd is there. The paper today said that the town lost a church. The Baptist church was on fire. And friends, The truth of the matter is the church is not gone. Our wonderful building, which many put thousands of hours into, is gone. Do you remember that patchwork quilt we used to have on the wall? Everybody ever came into that auditorium would look at that patchwork quilt and say, wow. In fact, I found people that got bored with the sermon were looking at it quite often. But notice, the church is not only alive, but I would say it's very much alive.
Amen.
Loved ones who die in Christ are alive too, because death is not annihilation. Death is separation of body from soul. Then it says, your rod and their staff, they comfort me. The comfort of discipline. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 tells us whom the Lord loves, he disciplines or chastens. Was the fire that we experienced a discipline of God? Not necessarily. It could be. If so, we need to learn the lessons from that. However, most trials you experience and most trials I experience have much greater purposes. Most of our people yesterday dropped by with a sense that God can be glorified through this sad loss. Community people dropped by to offer condolences. There were offers for meeting places. There were phone calls. I was on the phone almost all day till 11 o'clock at night, and about that time, a couple we haven't seen for 2 or 3 years walked in our door. There were some unexpected and interesting comments on my son's Facebook account. There were comments on the feeling of loss by the community at a decidedly busy church. Small, yes, but busy. And there was the wonderful opportunity to share the Lord with different people that came by. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You see, sheep have enemies, and quite often they're wolves or foxes and coyotes. They like to eat them. But in the presence of God, we can face whatever trouble we have, knowing he is there. There's a verse in a hymn book that I want to, where's the other one? There it is. I want to read to you. It's called, If Jesus Goes With Me, I'll Go. It may not be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. Those are good words, aren't they? The shepherd goes with his sheep and leads them. You anoint my head with oil. Now, oil, of course, was for healing. And sheep need tender, loving care, and you and I need the healing that the Lord brings to our lives. My cup runs over. God does not just give us the bare necessities at times. In fact, there's one verse in Psalm 68, verse 19, says, the Lord daily loads us with benefits. I got the picture of a mule there that somebody's just trying to pile on all they can onto that mule to see how much he can carry. Sometimes the Lord does that for us, doesn't he? Gives us many, many things, much more than we deserve, much more than we ever asked for. Bible in Ephesians 3:20 says, he's able to do far above what we ask or think. And then we come to that last verse. Many people know this verse well. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's like God has two sheepdogs named Mercy and Goodness. Mercy. That's what I do not deserve that God gave me in the cross of Christ. And every man, woman, and child that hears me may ask for that mercy by trusting in his atoning death. And goodness. We can recount good things about the building that we have lost. There's no evil in what God does for his people. In fact, his intentions are for good, because the word says, we know that all things work together for good. The individual things sometimes are not good, but he works them together for good to them who love Christ, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now look at the last phrase. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for 100 years, 1,000 years. What's the song in Amazing Grace say? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. I heard a story of two men. It was in a time when the Bible was a little bit more accepted in society, and they were both going to have a contest to recite the 23rd Psalm. And this actor got up, and he did a very, very professional job. And the crowd gave him a polite applause. And then an older fella got up, and he recited the 23rd Psalm. Such emotion was in that recital that at the end the entire crowd were just moved to tears. And the actor came up and put his arm around the other man. He said, "I knew the psalm. This man knows the shepherd." Is Jesus your shepherd? He wants to be. If you want to talk to one of us about that, come see one of the elders or somebody else that you know around you that loves Jesus. We'd be more than glad to point you towards him.